So the Bible reading this morning is from Romans 7:7-25. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandments came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good of what I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin.
We're into our fifth sermon in our series in Romans and salvation. So far we've seen that we are not justified by our good deeds or by following the law. Rather, we are justified based on our belief in and trusting in Jesus. It doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, whether we're circumcised or not. Faith in Jesus and his saving sacrifice in dying on the cross and rising again is what counts. If we're willing to trust in Jesus, then we have a righteousness which comes to us from God through our faith in Christ Jesus. So having made the claim that we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus, Paul sets out to provide evidence in the scriptures that justification through faith was not anything new. God had always made faith the basis of our justification. Therefore, based on our faith in Jesus, God will credit us with righteousness. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The only way for us to be righteous is for God to find a way to be justified in crediting us with righteousness. And God did this through his son Jesus, dying and rising to life to take away our sin and giving us his righteousness. And then we looked at how if God showed us his grace by sending Jesus to die when we were ungodly, then how much more can we be assured that we will continue to receive God's grace as we are now reconciled to God and know with complete assurance that he will bring us into our eternal salvation. And last week we saw how Jesus has died your death to sin. In our mindsets, we are to count ourselves dead to sin and to not allow it to reign over us. Instead, we embrace our new selves who have been justified by our faith in Jesus Christ and obey his will for our lives. And what that practically means for us is that we are to consider ourselves slaves to righteousness. Jesus has freed us from the control of sin. So don't give it control again. Instead, may doing good be our master. And today we're looking at Romans 7, where Paul is dealing with the reality of the human struggle with sin and how sin overrides and even hijacks God's law to bring about our condemnation. However, there is salvation because Jesus rescues us. Like last week, Paul is again anticipating the objections to his understanding of law and grace. Many Jewish Christians were still holding on to the law which God gave to Moses and bringing themselves under that law in Paul's day. Although Jesus had paid the price of salvation, his death and resurrection, they still thought that they needed to follow the law to be real followers of law. They had to come under the law in order to be real followers of Jesus. Paul has already shown that a key purpose of the law was to show us what sin is and that we are utterly sinful people. In a sense, the law made things worse, because when God has revealed to us what sin is and we continue to do it, then we knowingly break God's will for our lives rather than just sinning out of ignorance. So does this mean that the law is actually a bad thing? Well, this is the question Paul deals with in Romans 7, verses 7 to 14. Now, what Paul has come to realize after becoming a Christian is just how hopelessly sinful people are, including the best of people. He sees it in himself and he sees it at work in everyone. So what Paul does is he takes his observations about our human sinfulness and his observations of the law and his own experiences of them, and he takes them out and he investigates them like they're objects before him. Kind of like if you've seen science fiction movies where they will bring up a holographic image and they're able to sort of manipulate it with advanced technology and pull it apart and have a look at it. This is what Paul is doing in his mind with these concepts of sin and law. So first of all, we've got the law. It's a reflection of God's good character. It's holy, righteous, and good. And then we've got our sinful nature. It's selfish, rebellious, harmful, manipulative, deceitful, arrogant, and evil. While we don't know God's law, it just does its thing in ignorance of what the truth is. But once our sinful nature knows what God's will is, well, this awakens our sinful nature in a new way, because now it can willfully disobey God. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that? Well, I want to do that. This is a part of you which your mind has no control over. It's at work to corrupt everything you do and think, so it corrupts your mind too. So that even if you want to do good, your sinful nature is at work to corrupt it in some way. So Paul, in Romans 7, verses 7 to 14, shows how our human sinful nature makes use of the law to increase the amount that we sin. Romans 7, verse 7, sets out that Paul still thinks that the law is good, and it was the way Jews knew what sin was. But then Romans 7, 8 states, "But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." And so the commandment really brought sin alive. When Paul says that sin is dead without the law, and that he was alive apart from the law, he's talking about this ability to knowingly, to intentionally rebel against God's expressed purpose and will, which was not there before. And Paul uses his experience of wanting things that he doesn't have. When the law says, do not covet, Paul noticed how this, in his inner being, brought to his mind all the things that he didn't have, but he would like to have. And then he really wanted them. For all of you who are young enough or have children or grandchildren and know of Pokemon and what Pokemon are, it's a cartoon about how you got to collect them all. All these pocket monsters. And you've got to get the ones you don't already own. That's the purpose of Pokemon. So rather than celebrating each one you have, the goal is to use the ones you have to go get the ones you don't have. Pokemon is all about playing on our sinful nature of coveting. And yet, if you ever watch the cartoon, it seems so harmless. So when you start to open your eyes to yourself and begin to be aware of there's sin lurking everywhere. If sin is found in the premise of an innocent show like Pokemon, where else is sin? And what is worse is that knowing that things are sinful doesn't prevent you from doing things which are sinful. In fact, as Paul has said, it inflames the sinful passions to do them more. And as a person who tries to do what is right and who wants to do what is good, you'll have an even harder fight with yourself on your hands. So then our sinful nature makes use of knowing the character of God and his will for us to lead us to sin more. The other thing it does is that it makes me aware that whenever I willingly give in to temptation, I do so knowing it's against God. So that I am guilty of Adam and Eve's sin, choosing to disobey God whenever I choose to sin. And in so in doing, I have chosen to do something which I know I deserve to be condemned and thrown away from God's presence for. But the law remains holy, righteous, and good. But it shows just how unholy, unrighteous, and evil I am. But part of God's plan is for us to understand just how utterly sinful sin is. God is exposing what this part of ourselves is. But the result of God exposing sin is that we become even more deserving of death and separation from God. What follows in Romans 7 verses 15 to 25 is a very well-known passage for most of us. However, given the context of this, of where this passage sits, it's likely that Paul is revealing in hindsight what his spiritual life as a Pharisee was like. Because what Paul has just been showing is how the Jews under the law are actually condemned, not saved. It's about the position of Jews who are under the law. So I believe that Paul is expressing the lived experience of Jews under the law first and foremost. However, I think we can all identify with the struggle Paul depicts as Christians, can't we? But there is a slight difference. Because as Christians, we do have the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work undoing the control sin has over us. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they are cutting us free and untangling us from our sin. Jesus is slowly perfecting our love for others and making our motives more pure. However, we are still never free from sin's powerful influence in this lifetime, which is why we can see ourselves in what Paul says here. But you think it's hard to overcome temptation with Jesus and the Holy Spirit helping you? Imagine how utterly helpless you would be without their power in your life. And this is what Paul is expressing. We gain a big clue that this is what Paul is getting at because he starts this section by saying he's unspiritual and sold as a slave to sin. And as we see in Romans chapter 8, Paul would never say that he was a slave to sin once having been saved by Jesus. He's also declared this sort of thing in the preceding chapters of Romans. So Paul expresses the frustration of wanting to do good and not wanting to sin. However, ending up not doing the good and doing what is sinful. In doing so, Paul is showing and agreeing that the law is good. But as a Jew, there was no power to live up to the law. Even though a good Jew accepts the law and desires to live up to the law, they can't. It shows that even with your mind and your will desiring to live in accordance with the law, the sin living in you will prevent you. There's nothing good in our sinful nature. So when we do the evil we don't want to do and we don't do the good we want to do, it is sin living in people which does this. As I said, I'm sure you can identify with this. However, we're not to fully identify with the hopelessness which Paul expresses here. As a Pharisee, Paul delighted in his inner being in God's law, but he was a prisoner to the law of sin. What a wretched man am I, Paul declares. Who will save me from this body of death? Who? Jesus. Thanks be to God through Jesus our Lord. Jesus does. Jesus saves us from this body of death. And so right there at the end, we pick up that Paul still understands that this is still a part of the Christian experience. Where he says, so then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. But therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul will go on to explain why it is that there is no condemnation for those who are saved by Jesus, even though we still experience the struggle. Even though we experience the struggle that he has just described to some extent, but he will also explain why it shouldn't be the hopeless experience he had as a Jew under the law. For now, we will leave it with this reason, that it's because Jesus saves us from this body of death. And because this is true. Jesus has saved us from this body of death. As Paul has already shown, Jesus has died the death that we deserve to die to our sin on our behalf. Jesus has allowed us to be forgiven, and he has given us his righteousness, which is not our own, but is from God. However, in our next exciting episode, next week, Paul will show us how Jesus, now that he's freed us from our slavery to sin, enables us to fly. So in summary, human beings are slaves to our sinful nature. God has revealed the full extent of the sinfulness of our sin through giving the law and commandments. However, this really only makes the situation worse for us. Because although this allows us to know what is objectively right and good, our sinful nature deceives us and gets us to sin even more. However, now we know that what we do makes us deserving of death and means that at any time we do sin, we do so knowingly disobeying God, which adds another offense to every sin we commit. So we experience this as not being able to do the good we want to do and doing the wrong we don't want to do. But thanks be to God who saves us from our bodies of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.